I guess the I realize that one of the downfalls of being a preacher's wife or a preacher's one of their children is you hear multiple times the same sermon. You know, my mind works in a way where I get something on my mind, and that's what's on my mind, and it might be there for the next week, and I keep thinking about it over and over and over again, and then I'm like that brother on Saturday night thinking, ooh, I got to preach getting the same people. I better, you know, I really need to do it. But the Lord kept stirring up your mind on a thought, and I read all afternoon, but my mind stayed exactly where I was this morning, and it's this great thought in Matthew 20 about the concept of it's not fair. And this week when we were at Caleb and Amanda's, our niece Millie, she was upset about something, and she was saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. It didn't seem fair to her. Something was going on, it didn't seem fair. Well, you know, that's not just a mentality of a child. We all have that mentality. We all have that thing where we look over and we say, well, they got COVID. They didn't get it as bad as me. That's not fair. Why was I worse off than them? Even on something like that, we will have the mindset to say, it's not fair. It's in our nature. It is what is inside of us to look around and think, oh, they shouldn't have it better than me. That's not fair. So the Lord here gives us a great parable and a great lesson that it doesn't matter if it's fair, but that it's His will. Yeah. And that's what He gives us. So let's look over here in Matthew 19. We'll get to Matthew 20, but you start up back here in Matthew 19:27. And Matthew 19:27, Peter's going to ask him something, and it's because he just left, the rich young ruler just left. The rich young ruler was told, you have one more thing to do, and you'll have it all. You have one more thing. I mean, he has done what he's supposed to be doing. He's lived like he's supposed to be living. And what happens is, he says, now go sell everything you have and follow me. Well, he was a rich young ruler. You know, the Lord gives us those little nuggets to make sure we don't try to justify something out, but he makes sure we know he was rich. He had plenty, and he says he was a rich young ruler. Couldn't do it. He couldn't give up everything and follow him. So Peter, seeing this and knowing this, says to the Lord, said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So Peter's, you know, if you can imagine Peter with suspenders, he's kind of holding himself there going, we've done it. We've given it all up. We've forsaken all. We're following you. Then answered Peter, then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit at the throne of glory, ye also shall sit 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And verse 29, and everyone that has forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and father and mother and wife and children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So he tells them that when you give up all that, you gain so much more. When you look around here tonight, I don't know how many people are about here, 50, I don't know, 40, 50 people. My family, before I came and joined the church, was not 40 or 50 people big. But now I can come into the house of God and I have a family that is this big. I can go across state lines into an area I've never been, and can go to a church meeting feeling like I've known them all my life. Amen. It's grown that much. My family's gotten that much bigger. He says, you'll have 100-fold. You'll have it that much more. It'll be, now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, because he says persecutions will come with it. But it means that we will have more people to be there to help us, to hold us up, to get us through there, to pray for us. We have a bigger family. We have greater lands. Think about it when it says you've given up your land right here. How many lands? I can go to Arkansas and go visit Brother Adam and feel like I have land in Arkansas. I can go there and stay with him, know I have a house to stay in, a bed to sleep in. We have family right there. So we have that much more. But he said, that's all, not all you're going to get. You're going to inherit everlasting life. He said, you're going to have the opportunity to earn it. You're not going to have the chance to accept it. You're not going to have a chance to do anything of your own will. You're going to inherit it. When you inherit something, it's just because you got lucky to be the heir of the one that had something to leave you. My boys, I don't know what they're going to get left. It might be heir, but I'm going to leave them something. We'll say, here's what we left you. That's what it is. Well, you know what? We have a Father who we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ that left us everything. He left us eternal salvation. So as it comes down here, the end of 19, he says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So he goes into the parable right here. And he goes into this parable and he's going to teach them. And it reminds you, you got to keep remembering what Peter said. Peter, picture him standing there saying, we've done everything. We've done this. So we get so much. The Lord has a way to humble us and make sure we understand that no matter what we think it is, it's still His way. How many times have you been humbled by the Lord in our lives and you just know it was the Lord that just knocked us down, just humbled us a little bit more, showed us that we didn't know as much as what we thought we did. Amen. So Matthew 20:1, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. So the man who owns the property, who owns the vineyard, it is his property, his household, his vineyard. He goes out to find some workers. And he finds them workers and he says, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to work today and then I'll pay you a penny. And they agreed to it. They were happy with it. They thought that was great because they needed work because they needed to eat. They needed to be able to provide for their family. So they said, if they just kept standing there, they're not guaranteed they're going to have a job. They don't know if someone else is coming around. So they take it and they go with it and they said they're happy with the penny. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went out their way. And again, he went out the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. So now he's gone out three more times. He's went out there and he saw people standing there idle. Now remember, there's still ones that have been working in the field. They've been working in this vineyard. They've been working all this time. But he goes out and he says, come back. I got more work to do. I need more stuff to be done. I need more grapes cut. So come back to my house and work. And whatever's right, that's what I'll give you. He didn't say how much it was going to be, but you know why they're okay with it? Because they need a job. They need a job. They need to be able to provide for their family. So whatever they're going to get is more than what they're getting when they're standing there idle, not doing anything. So as they continue on, they go back into the labors, they start to work, and you would think with 12 hours being in the day, and you went out at the ninth hour, you'd be done. Our Lord doesn't work that way. When I picture this next verse about going out at the 11th hour, I picture the thief on the cross. That it was in like the 11th hour, at the very end, this man, if you would have known him his whole life, you would have thought, that is not a child of God, the way he's acted, the way he's held himself. If you would have turned just a few minutes before, he looked up at the Lord, and the Lord told him that they were going to be in heaven with him. You would have never guessed he was a child of God. It doesn't matter when it happens. It can happen in the womb. It can happen on your deathbed, anywhere in between. But when the Lord works on you, He works on you. And it is a great blessing. It is. There's no timeline. It's not 12 years old. It's not before. It's nothing like that. It's on His time. So the 11th hour, He goes out and He found others standing idle. And said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So they're standing there idle, and he's asking them, Why are you not working? Why aren't you going to get some work done? You need to eat, don't you? You need to provide for your family. So why are you not going out there to work? Look what he says, verse 7. Because no man hath hired us. They couldn't just do it on their own. They couldn't go into the vineyard and just start picking the grapes and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn in my amount of work and they're going to pay me, because they weren't hired. They don't have the ability to go into that until they are hired. The same thing works when the Lord has to work on our hearts for us to be able to come and be a laborer in His vineyard. You don't just decide, well, I'm going to go, I'm going to be a laborer, then the Lord's going to do something to me. No, the Lord hires you, He brings you, and then you become the laborer in His vineyard. So they were standing there idle because why? Because the householder, the man, the owner of the vineyard, hadn't come out and hired them to be able to come back and have the opportunity to work in his vineyard. So it's 1 hour to go, and he says, whatever's right, that's what I'll pay. Well, you just know in your mind that it's not going to be very much. It can't be very much because it's 1 hour of work. 1 hour of work is all they're going to have. And, you know, if you think about how work goes, typically 15 minutes before your shift is up, you're putting up tools, you're doing this and that, you lose 15 minutes a day. So they had an hour, now they're down 45 minutes. Who knows how long they were from where they were standing to getting back to the vineyard. So they might not even have that much work together, or not even an hour. So you know it can't be very much money, because it wouldn't make sense to be the same amount as anybody else because they haven't put forth as much effort. And here's where it starts. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And here is where it begins. It's not fair. The ones who would get it first are the ones you would think had been there the longest, have put forth the most effort. Now, down in Georgia, you always hear a preacher. I think I've heard Brother Sam, Brother Franklin, Brother Dan, every one of them talk about, Uncle Gary, talking about picking cotton and how you're out there. I've never picked cotton a day in my life. But listen to them tell stories about picking cotton. You know, you feel like you come in exhausted, worn out, beat down. You've been out there in the Georgia heat. You know, you're out there in dirt. I don't even know what you do to pick cotton, but they're picking cotton. The thing is that's what these men have done. But if you've been out there longer than Brother Franklin, you would think you would come in first and you'd get the water first. You'd be able to take the first seat. You'd be able to get the most rest because you've been out there longer. But he says, don't do that. He says, you take the last and you do them first. And notice who he puts in charge of. He puts his steward in charge of paying the money. So the homeowner has a main worker that is over the rest of the workers in the vineyard that probably gives them instructions, probably teaches them what they're supposed to do, what their job functions are. But you notice what the steward can't do? The steward can't go out and get the ones that are standing idle to come back into his vineyard. Only the homeowner, only the owner of the vineyard can go out and do the hiring. Only the Lord can change a man's heart from a stony heart to a fleshy heart to understand what's even being talked about. You can have the best preaching in the world, and unless the Lord has changed that heart, it falls on deaf ears. You can have two people sitting there, one that the Lord's worked on, one that he hasn't worked on yet, and one's amen, and one is thankful for everything he's heard, and he thinks it's the best sermon he's ever walked out on. He walks out and he's, you know, floating in air. The other one's like, oh my word, I can't believe he actually preached an hour long. I can't believe that's how long that lasted. The difference is the Lord's worked on one and he hasn't worked on the other. And when he works on them both, you can see when he's been worked on because they no longer realize it's an hour. I promise you. I don't think I've ever preached an hour, so don't worry about that. But they don't know it. And then they don't realize it's an hour long and they're walking out that same level as the other one. So he tells his steward, he says, you make sure you go and you pay the last first. Verse 9 says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first come, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. Okay, so the ones that came in the 11th hour, they stick their hand out to get paid. They don't know how much they're getting paid because it was never agreed upon. He said, I'll just pay you what's right. And he gives them a penny. So all of a sudden, the ones that are standing in the back, the ones who have worked the hardest and worked the longest, you know what they forgot? They forgot what they had agreed upon. They forgot what the homeowner, the landowner, had agreed to pay them. Because in no time did his word change. His word was the same from the very beginning in the morning to the very end when he gives them a penny. But they come up there with their hand out and they think they're expecting that they're going to get more than the one that's worked 1 hour. Well, you know what? Every one of us would have expected the same thing. Every one of us would have expected that I've worked all day. If he's getting a penny, I'm going to get more than that. I mean, I worked 11 more hours than him, so I'm thinking I'm getting 11 times what he's getting. However it is, your mind's going to know that you should get more. That's how it is in the real world today when the Lord blesses us. There's times when we look around in our lives and we think, I put so much more effort into the Lord than so-and-so, but they're being blessed beyond measure. Why are they getting so much? That's what comes from the thought of it's not fair. You start to expect more than what the Lord has promised. You start to expect that you're going to get blessings, even though if there's one group of people that understands we deserve nothing, it's the old Baptists. The old Baptists understand that we are sinners by nature and we all fall short of the glory of God and the Lord owes us nothing. So what happens is, they get up there in the line and they think they should get more than what the guy is that worked an hour. So when he comes down, he says, verse 11 says, and when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have bore the burden of the heat of the day. So what happens is they start murmuring and complaining. They're not happy with what's transpired. They're not happy because they got paid the same amount. And they start showing their true colors. They're judging the other people. They've only worked 1 hour. And then they start to make sure that they say, they're starting to pull on their own suspenders saying, look, we worked through the heat of the day. They didn't have to. They're making sure it's a competition of who did more. This is just an example of us in our lives today, and it happens between church body versus church body, area of the country versus area of the country, person against person. We look at things in this way. When we don't think something's fair, we start to do those four things of expecting more. We start to try to make it a competition of who's doing more and who's doing less, showing that, judging others. They don't deserve that. Why would they get that? We should get that. We've done more. We've been through more hard times than someone else. Why don't we get someone else? So that's what happens. We start to think that way. In verse 13 he says, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? He says, we agreed on this. You know, it makes you think of Romans 9 where he says, Does the clay have any control over? I can't even say it right now. He says, if I can find it here, You got to forgive me. I just started using the iPad pre-talk because I can see it so much better. So forgive me. But no, it's Romans 9. Hath not the potter power of the clay, the same love to make one vessel honor and one to unto dishonor? He's saying, this is the way it works. You don't get to save me. I agreed this. I've done what you said. Who are you to say something to me? Why would you say something to God? Every time we murmur and complain that our blessings are not as good as someone else's, this is what we're acting like. This is what we're doing. We are murmuring and complaining to God that our blessings are not as good as what they should be. We need to stop and remember we don't deserve blessings. We should be thankful for every blessing we get. And we shouldn't range them the smallest to the biggest. A blessing is a blessing. So we need to look, and he says, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is I not evil because I am good? He said, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even unto thee. And then he says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? God's will is what matters. That homeowner can do what he wants with how he paid. You know, he couldn't have agreed to them for a penny a day and only gave him half a penny because they'd be going back on his word. But he agreed to a penny and he gave them a penny, and that's what they got, was a penny. He said, it's my will to give the one who's only worked 1 hour a penny as well. Is it not mine to give what I want? You know, that's the thing that comes down to eternal salvation. When people hear about predestination and election, they don't think it's fair. They don't think it's fair because they want the opportunity to make sure that they do something. The thing is what they don't realize is on our own, we wouldn't care about the opportunity. We wouldn't care about that. And you have to get that understanding to understand how great it is that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He didn't choose us on our merits. He didn't choose us on if we worked 1 hour or 11 hours. He didn't choose us on any of that. He chose us because it was His will to do so. He chose us because He loved us before the foundation of the world. And when you say, well, what determines His love? I don't know. Go back and read Jacob and Esau and you couldn't tell me. You wouldn't be able to know how He chose one over the other and why it was this. Throughout the Bible, the least one you would expect that He would love is the one He loved. And when I read those stories, I thank the good Lord for it, because if there's one that is the least is me, I would think, I don't deserve that. And He gives us examples to show us. But the thing is when we come into this world, we go out there and we face this next year, we go into labor in His vineyard, don't look around to other people. Don't look around to other churches. Don't look around at other areas of the country. Stay focused on the blessings that the Lord is doing for us right here and right now. Stay focused on our labor, on what we're doing. And when we do that, there'll be rejoicing. That's what we have to remember, that we are blessed every day. Take a stop, take a time, and you know that saying that take time to smell the roses? Takes time and thank God for your blessings. May the Lord bless you, my friend.